Thanks for joining us for today's message. We hope that it fills you with hope and encouragement and draws you closer to Jesus. But don't stop there. Download our app today and stay connected throughout the week. And finally, if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Now enjoy today's message.
Today I've titled my message, Thoroughbreds, Mustangs, and Unicorns. Thoroughbreds, Mustangs, and Unicorns. I put a lot of time and effort into my titles because long after the words fade away from the content and the entire thought behind the message, I hope an idea sticks with you. Thoroughbreds, Mustangs, and Unicorns is a thought that came to me because these three types of horses are used in lots of business and corporation conversations. There are three ideas that many organizations run off of. One idea is a thoroughbred, and that is our steady, stable, bread and butter idea. It's the thoroughbred. It is the one that can be counted on. It is safe and it is secure. The second type of idea corporations call a Mustang. And this is a wild idea, a little bit outside of the box thinking, a little bit dangerous. It cannot really be tamed. Mustangs are wild stallions that run free. And so these ideas can be a little bit dangerous. And so lots of companies have a hard time straying away from the thoroughbreds because they're the foolproof, proven idea. Sometimes we'll venture into ideas that are Mustang ideas. They're wild. They're not really tameable. And those are a little bit scary. But the third type is the unicorn. The unicorn is the idea that is pretty much impossible to find. It's more of a myth than a reality. And today, I want to talk to you about the unicorn of having a teachable spirit. And the reason I label this a unicorn idea is because the vast, vast majority of people believe or think in a way that doesn't let themselves be given to a teachable spirit. And that's the whole content for today's idea and today's message. There are thoroughbreds. Those are the things that everybody does. There are Mustangs, which are a little bit wild, a little bit not able to be tamed. And then there are unicorns, which seem to be a myth. And I want to talk to you about how you can cultivate a teachable spirit. The unicorn, the superpower of humanity. In fact, this idea of having a teachable spirit will solve problems in your life that by no other way will these problems be solved. So, thoroughbreds, Mustangs, and unicorns. And let me read to you, because today is part three of a message series from the book of Proverbs called the Book of Observations. And I'm going to read several passages of scripture. What I've encouraged you to do during this entire series, I hope you've been doing this. If you've been doing this, give me an emoji saying you've been doing this. Reading, I've asked you to at least read one chapter in the book of Proverbs every day. So today's the 21st, and I'm hoping that by the end of today, everyone watching, everyone in our church family, everyone who's hearing this idea will read at least one chapter in the book of Proverbs. And I hope today, if you haven't started, you can start. I invite you to start. Read chapter 21 today. Whatever the date is, that's which chapter we are reading. And so this past week, as I read Proverbs 16, 17, 18, 19, all of them, ideas about a teachable spirit seem to just jump off the page at me. So let me read several passages, one or two verses from each chapter as we jump into this idea of a unicorn mentality of having a teachable spirit. Proverbs 16:20 says this, "Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord." I want to pause and say this, that the word heed means to listen to with a commitment to change. There is a difference between listening and hearing. You can hear everything I say, but not listen to a single word. When we heed, we listen with a heart commitment to change. And this is the beginning of a teachable spirit. To heed, to listen to instruction with a heart that is committed to a change. And I hope that's how you hear today and how you listen today. Proverbs 17:10 says this, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. Rebuke is more effective. Now, this is interesting because we live in a world that's very sensitive. No one wants to be corrected. In fact, one of the challenges that I want to present to you is this, that many of us, we would prefer to be coddled than corrected. And there are many voices of fathers out there, but here's the challenge. Do you have the heart of a son or a daughter? Or are you living in an orphan mentality, an orphan spirit? There are voices of fathers, and sometimes the voice of a father will correct. This says it's better to be rebuked than it is to be beaten with 100 blows. Listen, I know some people that they've gone through the blows, they've taken the knocks over and over and over and over again, and they just won't learn. Because taking the knocks, taking the punishment of getting it wrong and failing is not enough to correct us and help us get on the right course. We have to have a mindset that is teachable. Proverbs 18, verses 1 through 2 says this, a man or a woman who isolates themselves seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing, watch this, his or her own heart. Now, this isn't into the message yet, but I want to pull this out. We are in the middle of, or maybe the tail end, of the longest period of isolation that I've ever lived through, and I think that you've ever lived through as well. Watch what the Bible says about isolation. A person who isolates himself ends up seeking their own desires, not God's desires. And I think when we isolate ourselves, we are turning inward. We are only focusing on us. Watch this. He rages against all wise judgment. The result of isolation is anger, rage, and that rage is aimed at wise counsel and wise judgment. So once again, I want you to see this. I'm gonna lay it out real clear for you. But being isolated is not conducive to cultivating a teachable spirit. You have to have other people in your world. I'm going to tell you exactly how to pick and choose those individuals. Proverbs 19, 1 and 2. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. All of these verses are communicating the unicorn idea, the teachable spirit. To cultivate a teachable spirit. You can be successful in life and still not reach your full potential in Christ. You can be successful in business. You can be successful in your endeavors. And that does not necessarily mean you'll reach your full potential in Christ. A teachable spirit is the insurance policy. Is the protection plan to the human heart and to the human journey and for the human journey. And I'm asking you to cultivate a teachable spirit. So in Mark chapter 10, we see Jesus encounter with a rich young ruler. And the reason I say you can be successful in life and not reach your full potential is because of this story. Jesus comes in contact with a rich young man, and in Mark 10, verses 17 through 22, here's what the passage says. Now, as Jesus was going on the road, an individual came running. This guy's got urgency. Many of you know me, you've been on a trajectory with me. It's got to be real important for me to run. This guy has something, maybe you're the same way as I am. It's got to be important. And so this guy's got something on his mind, and so he takes off running towards Jesus. Knelt before him and asked, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He's wanting to reach his full potential. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered, the rich young man answers and says this, Teacher, all of these things I have kept from my youth. First of all, let's pause and say this. He hasn't. So already you see he's deceived to some degree. Because no one has done it perfectly except one. Watch what Jesus says. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, I'm going to come back to that. One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. But he, the rich young man, was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I want to give you some traits of an unteachable person that I see from Mark chapter 10. I'm going to give them to you quickly. I'm going to ask you to write them down, if you would please. Traits of an unteachable person. Number one, chronic failure. They deal with failure over and over and over and over again. And sometimes what that means is this young man, you may say, Joshua, this guy was successful. He had everything going on. He had money. He had influence. He had power. Listen. You can be successful and in the wrong things and never reach your potential in Christ. This man's heart inside knows, I want to inherit eternal life. Meaning, I've done all of these things, Jesus, but there still isn't success in my heart and soul and in my consciousness. I have to take some other step. He's realizing that over and over he's failing, coming up short of God's best in his life. Those who have an unteachable spirit will be chronically failing over and over and over again. They're argumentative. An unteachable person is argumentative. They want to argue every single point. An unteachable person defends. And let me pause and tell you how I know these traits. I know these traits because I've lived them all and will live them all in the future. But once we isolate them, once we identify them, we greatly increase our ability to take them to God and overcome them through his power working in our lives. An unteachable person will defend our own current position and will not listen to any other idea. Man, oh man, I see this all the time in people's lives. You see what they need to take as a step and they defend their position. They will not come off of their current position. They have an unteachable spirit. Next, you'll see this, isolation in withdrawal in time of difficulty. Jesus spoke a very direct word to him and the man went away. He isolated himself from the very words that would help him take steps. We feel threatened by those of differing opinions. He went away sorrowful. Watch this one. An unteachable person is easily offended. An unteachable person is easily offended. Listen to me. There is so much opportunity in the world around us to be offended. Unteachable people fall for the trap of offense. Unteachable people get offended at everything that disagrees with their position. Listen, you will not find anything out there or any person who agrees with you 100% of the time. For crying out loud, you don't even agree with you 100% of the time. It's true. So what does a teachable person do in this case? They look past marvelous opportunities to be offended. So we see some traits. We've seen God's word. We see that a teachable spirit is going to help us reach our full potential in Christ. So how do we cultivate a teachable spirit? The one thing that I want to emphasize to you is this. Find someone or someones that you will allow to speak into your life. Okay, Joshua, how do I do that? These verses, I want to outline this one part that Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, or it says of Jesus, it says this, then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him. In verse in that verse, in verse 21, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, these are the three ingredients for me of people that I will give my heart to be taught by. And here they are. I want a person who will look me in the eye, they will love me, and they will speak life to me. I want someone who will look me in the eye, who will love me, and who will say it directly to me. Listen, I don't want someone who's going to talk about me. I want someone who's going to talk to me. I wish somebody would give me an amen on that idea, because that is really important. I want someone who will talk straight to me. They'll look me in the eye. They will love me enough to say what I need to hear, whether I'm ready, willing, or able to receive it or not. Listen, every time you speak into someone's life, they will not always necessarily leave happy and full of joy. This man left sorrowful that day. He had an unteachable spirit, and right in front of him was the ingredient that would change his life forever. In fact, I would submit this to you, that the man gave up a place in history, in a place of the greatest levels in the kingdom of apostleship, because he was unteachable. He gave up. We don't even know the man's name. We don't even know who he is. He wasn't teachable. Being unteachable will cost us. So we have to give. Let me ask you this question. Who do you have in your life that will look you in the eye, who will love you, and who will speak truth to you? Who do you have that will look you in the eye, love you, and speak truth to you? Inside of that awkward pause, one of two things is going on in your mind right now. Either a face or a name has come to mind, or blank is on your mind. Like nothing, not a profanity, just nothing. It's a blank screen. If it's a blank screen, I love you enough to tell you this. You are in dangerous territory. You need people who will look you in the eye, not just have a relationship with you over Facebook. Not just someone that you have to be reminded by Facebook that it's their birthday in order to know that it's even their birthday. I mean someone who will look, and this is fine, I get it, but someone who will look you in the eye, who will love you, and who will speak to you. Who is that? And my challenge to you is this. You don't have to go any further today than to find that person or those people. I have several. I have five people in my life that I would call a mentor. They are the people that I have given my life to, given my whole heart to, and I'm willing to be taught by them. In other words, this is what it means for me. I will yield my opinions and my ideas to theirs because they're further than me. They've seen ahead. Are they always right? No. But the blessing of a teachable spirit is that it allows you and I to cultivate a heart that is humble. And it is the humble that get more grace, according to James. James says that God gives more grace to the humble. So when we humble our heart, when we submit, when we use the word submission, that our mission is below theirs, the mission is sub theirs, our ideas are sub theirs, that there is a blessing of grace on that heart, even if the person you're submitted to is wrong in their idea or their opinion. Now listen, we never yield our heart to someone who asks us or leads us down the path of sin and destruction. Never. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about finding a person who will look you in the eye, who will love you, and who will speak life to you. This unicorn, this teachable spirit, isn't tested on the easy things. The teachable spirit is tested in the difficult things that reach deep down into your soul that you care about. Are you willing to be taught? Are you willing to have a heart that will be open to someone else's ideas, mainly and preeminently God's? So here are five practices that I've adopted, and I'm going to be through, and I'm going to invite the team to come and help us close the service in worship. Let me give you these five things. 5 practices that I've adopted to help me keep a teachable spirit, and that will help you get one and keep one. And so I'm going to go through these really quickly. And so here they are. Number one, these are just mine. These are mine. Say something in the comments section so I know you didn't log off. I know you were. I could hear you listening from here. And so I want you to get active here a little bit and kind of change the energy and position. I want you to write these down. Now, you can put them in the comment section if you want, but I hope you put them someplace that you remember them. These are 5 practices that I have adopted to help me keep a teachable spirit. Number one, I make humility my priority. 2, understand that humility attracts God's grace in our life. Humility will attract the voice of mentorship in your life. 2, I look for learning possibilities in every situation. In any and every situation I'm in, I look for a chance to learn something from anyone and everyone. I'm always looking to learn. I've committed myself to being a lifelong learner. I don't know all that I need to know yet, and so I'm hungry to learn. 3, I ask questions that will help me understand. In this season, with all of the intense things going on in the United States of America, from the pandemic to the racial tensions, to already it's ramping up for election season. And don't forget, this fall, I'm going to do a series called How to Avoid Election Infection. And I think that will be helpful to us. But in this season, here's what I'm doing. I'm saying it's more important. And this is what I believe a humble heart will say. It's more important for me to understand than it is for me to be understood. I want to understand more than I want to be understood. So many of us are trying to get our point across, make sure somebody else understands our position. And in doing so, I think there's a little bit of insecurity and pride attached to that approach that is saying, once others affirm where I stand, then I can be more secure in what I believe. But listen, we need to be strong in humility and say, I believe what I believe, and it doesn't matter how many thousands of people say it's wrong or are against me, my belief comes from a place that's rooted and grounded in God's word in my life and love over my life. And I want to understand that more than I understand anything. 4, this is where it gets it to be work. 4, I keep track of what I've learned. I have a file of what I've learned. And some of you hate the idea of filing, but whether you file, journal, maybe you record memes or memos, the point is the same. If you don't create a system of capturing what you've learned, you will forget it. Let me talk to the young people for just a moment. The sharpness of mind that you have right now and you thinking you'll remember, that will fade away at some point in time. My memory used to be really, really like really proficient. And now I'll get up and leave my bedroom and go to the kitchen and forget why I left my bedroom in the first place. And maybe someone online understands that. Write it down. Even if you don't need it to remember, once you're long gone, leave a trail for someone else to follow. Leave some journals, leave some things written down. Go ahead and record those things. And the last thing is, I communicate what I've learned to others. It's one thing to glean truth. It's another thing to teach it, to communicate it. And the simple idea here is, I've shared this with you many times, receive and pass on. Receive and pass on. And as you pass that learning on, it becomes more ingrained in your heart, your mind, and in your soul. Because it's a part of you, and then you express it. And so it's growing you yet again. So today, as I close, Thoroughbreds, Mustangs, and Unicorns, and we're in search of unicorns today. The heart and mindset of a teachable spirit.
Thanks again for joining us today. Now take a second and subscribe to our channel. Or you can share this message with someone that you think could use it. And if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Have a blessed day.